Welcome to the podcast Benzo Tired. I'm your host, Neftel Benesty, and I'm Dutch. Join me on my journey into the world of benzodiazepines, withdrawal, bind, and more. Disclaimer, always consult your physician for medical advice. This is episode 6, Sarah Nadav, and today it's February 15th, 2023.
I think we're in.
Yeah, we did it. Hi, welcome. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. So, Sarah, could you share with the audience why you were prescribed a benzodiazepine and which one?
14 years ago, I was just going through a particularly rough time in my life. A close family member had medical problems. My kids were very young. And it was just a hard period of my life. I went to a psychiatrist who prescribed an antidepressant. The antidepressant caused anxiety and insomnia, and then he prescribed Xanax.
Okay, and how was your experience on the benzo?
It was, I think, you know, it was great when I first took it. It was helpful, it calmed me down, but then it really just stopped working. It was like a maintenance dose I took every day. It was just, you know, in my medicine cabinet, and this is what I take every day. But it didn't really help me after 2 or 3 years.
Okay. And when did you start trying to come off of it?
So at the point that I realized it wasn't helping me, I didn't realize it was dangerous to come off. And I just was like, this pill doesn't do anything. So why am I taking it? And I just didn't fill a prescription. And it was a holiday weekend. And 3 days into the 3 days later, I was sleeping and woke up because I was having seizures. And an ambulance came to bring me to the hospital. Yeah.
Okay. So did you realize once in the hospital that you were having seizures because you had abruptly stopped taking the Xanax?
So no, I got like MRIs and it I don't even know. They did take an intake of what I was taking every day. And it was honestly, it was so many years ago. This was like a decade almost. And somehow, eventually, I was in the hospital for like 3 days. They established I didn't have epilepsy. They figured out that I had stopped taking the Xanax and that had caused the seizure. So, and then at that point, I was told to continue taking the Xanax and to go back to my regular doctor. My regular doctor said, okay, it's dangerous for you to come off and you're stable at this dose, so you should just take it forever. Like, expect to take it for the rest of your life.
Whoa. So what happens next? So you're kind of aware that if you stop taking the Xanax abruptly, you'll get seizures. So that's dangerous. People are telling you to stay on it forever. What happens next?
Well, then I just had a really long journey of trying to come off because I didn't particularly like the way I felt when I took it. Or ultimately what pushed me to really get off was that I couldn't live in fear of losing my pills and having another seizure. And I very much lived in fear of that happening. And I just felt like that was way too vulnerable of a way to exist.
Right. So how did you try to come off?
I tried going to different doctors. I really could not find any assistance. And eventually I found a psychiatrist who came recommended through friends. And that psychiatrist told me that he was an expert in withdrawal. He wasn't, basically. And he did a rapid taper for me about 18 months ago, and he prescribed antipsychotics and anti-seizure medication and gave me a 1 month plan. And at that time I was actually also taking Ambien, and over the years I had switched to Klonopin, and my dose had gone up. I was taking about 2 milligrams of Klonopin a day for a really long time. And then my mother passed away, and I just started taking a little bit more. And so by the time I was getting off, I was taking 4 milligrams plus 20 milligrams of Ambien plus like 15 milligrams of a different benzo that another doctor had prescribed. And I honestly, I didn't understand the gravity of the dose that I was taking. It didn't seem like a lot to me. 2 milligrams doesn't seem like a lot. 4 milligrams doesn't seem like particularly a lot. I kind of knew the Ambien was a lot. And altogether, also something that was happening to me, which is really awful, was I was really sick, and I was going to the doctor a lot, and just complaining. And I kept getting told I was depressed, and I kept saying, no, I'm sick. But all my test results came back that I wasn't sick, but I had a lot of muscle aches all the time. I had a lot of stomach trouble. I thought I had an autoimmune disease. I would get exhausted at really unexpected times. I would get overcome with nausea in the evenings and afternoons, which turned out to be tolerance withdrawal because I didn't like the feeling of taking benzos. I would take them only at night. So I would take this really high dose at night. And then by the next day, or like in the afternoon, I was going through withdrawal daily.
Wow. Wow. And when are your aha moments coming? Where do you get educated on what benzo withdrawal is and tolerance withdrawal and so forth?
So when I went to this doctor and he gave me this 1 month plan, at that point I was in a bunch of support groups online, and I was listening to what people said, and I was honestly really confused, because when I went to go look, the addiction centers say 1 month. They have this 1 month timeline, and it's, you know, the most common timeline that I saw. And my doctor was saying it was safe. And then the support groups, people were like, no, this is absolutely not safe. You shouldn't do this. And I really couldn't tell who was right and who was wrong. And I didn't know who to trust. Which is why I ended up trusting my doctor, because it seemed like a doctor would know better than the support groups. And it turned out support groups really knew much better than my doctor. So my aha moment came, I think, like a month after I was off. I tapered down in 1 month, and then I was going through the absolute, like so many other people say, I was going through absolute hell.
But just for perspective, so you were on Xanax first, then you switched to Klonopin. You were also Ambien, and you quit all of that, or all these drugs you quit in 1 month, or was it just the Klonopin or just the Ambien or everything?
I quit it all in 1 month. This doctor had the schedule with like every 3 days or every 5 days, I was lowering doses.
Goodness. Okay. So yeah. So you're in this, hell.
Yeah.
How long did it last for? How did you survive all of that?
Honestly, at one point, like 3 weeks in, on top of everything, my dad, I live in Israel, my dad got COVID, and I needed to fly to help him. And I was going to the psychiatrist, like, and my mom had died like 3 months before. I was like, should I be doing this now? Like, this doesn't seem like a good idea. He's like, no, you're fine. And you're doing fine. So I was flying. And at one point I remember being at an airport and sending him like a message and being like, I don't know if there's an earthquake or if I'm shaking, but like the whole world is shaking right now. And yeah, so I don't honestly know how I survived. It was weird because when I was going down, I didn't feel the withdrawal too intensely. I almost felt okay. Maybe that's because I was taking Seroquel and the anti-seizure medications. So it was only when I was off of everything, maybe a week or two after that, that I started to have really, really intense physical symptoms. I started shaking, like basically constantly. Like I had to drink through a straw because I couldn't hold a cup to my mouth because my head and my hands were shaking that badly.
Like akathisia?
It wasn't akathisia. It was more like a constant tremor.
Okay.
Like from what I understand from akathisia, people feel like an agitation.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it's hard to kind of, you know, having those distinct things. I sometimes struggle with that as well when I have the jerks sometimes. I'm like, okay, am I just massive jerks or is it akathisia? But you are right. I think akathisia does entail some sort of mental restlessness at the same time. So, so many things are happening to us neurologically. So sometimes it's hard to really label that. But okay, go on. What was happening? You know, you were drinking through a straw. I'm guessing
war stories. I was drinking through a straw. I was not eating. I was losing a lot of weight. I was having nightmares every single night. I would just close my eyes and dream of murders. People being pushed off buildings, like every kind of murder, just all night. It was just like murder in my room. And that was brutal. It made me not want to go to sleep. So the nightmares were awful. I was hallucinating and I was seeing spiders and bugs crawling on my bed.
Wow.
It was so fucking disturbing.
I know. And especially the whole death thing, I think it's very relatable to people in acute withdrawal or to rapid withdrawal or just in withdrawal. Just thoughts about death in some sort of way seems to be a very prevalent kind of withdrawal symptom to think about death a lot. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be a common theme a lot. So as you are going through this, you know, nightmare, basically, are you alone? Do you have any support? What's your living situation? What's happening? Who is someone seeing you? Are you just by yourself?
So it was like in the thick of COVID, right? And there were lockdowns and we weren't seeing people. You know, everything was very limited. Like the amount that you could even see people if you wanted to was very limited. I have two kids. And that was the worst part because I was unable to parent in any way. And right. I just tried to shield them as much as possible from even seeing me. I just closed the door of my room and ordered a lot of takeout. We had this piece of land behind the house and I had dogs. And the most that I could do pretty much in a day was walk out into our backyard and watch the dogs like run and play. And I would do that every morning.
Okay. And how long would you say that you were in this kind of state? Did you notice any improvements as time went on? What happens?
Yeah. I will definitely improve. The first month was the worst. Like I was just a shell of a human being. And then it started to improve over, I would say by month three. Although, you know, it's like, I'm sure other people can understand this. When you're vomiting for 3 months, shaking for 3 months, having nightmares and like, you know, my skin was itching everywhere and I had depersonalization. Which I actually think was probably a blessing at the time, which was that I just felt very disconnected to myself, almost like I was watching my body go through all these things. Like I could kind of see, I knew I was hallucinating, and it wasn't all the time. It was just like every now and then, especially in low lighting. And I would be like, ooh, that's weird. Like, I know those aren't real, and it's pretty fucked up that my head is doing that, right? But I oddly wasn't upset about it. I was just like, ooh, that's weird. So I was very disconnected. I was very disconnected. And then about 3 months in, I started to, I guess regulate would be the correct word. It was like my body, I stopped shaking as much, although I was shaking for a very long time, months, but I was able to eat. I was able to drink. I was able to take short walks. So I think by month four, I was significantly better, or at least better enough that I was like, there's a light at the end of this tunnel. Like, if I'm healing, that means I'm going to continue healing and I'm not going to be stuck like this forever.
Right. And by this time, you're off every single medication, all the benzos, the quetiapine, the Seroquel, or are there some things that you need to take to get through this?
So I continued on the anti-seizure medication because I was like, just frankly terrified about what was happening with my body and that. And then because of the groups, because of the support group. So now I took everybody seriously. I was like, these are the only people who know what's going on. I got a lot of warnings about Seroquel, and I also looked into it myself, and there is no research that shows that Seroquel helps in any way. I was like, if this doesn't help, why am I taking it? Also, it was making me, it was making me faint. It was making me dizzy. And it turns out it's a vasodilator, and your autonomic nervous system gets really disrupted during benzo withdrawal. A lot of people get something called POTS. I can never pronounce it right, but it's postural orthopedic tachycardia. But it's basically like your heart is working extra hard to pump blood, and your veins are not contracting well enough. So anyway, another doctor was later like, how could you be on Seroquel? Like, it's the opposite of what you should be taking. So maybe I took Seroquel for a month, and I didn't I have to taper off of it. I just told that other psychiatrist that like, I'm not taking anything unless it's proven to help. And at that point I was very cautious. I was not taking any medications. But that's the point where there are two things that I think were really pivotal for helping me make a leap forward in feeling better.
Okay.
One was I found a really great neurologist. And that neurologist, he was so understanding, and he explained the hallucinations to me. He's like, yeah, you know, it's like your brain is firing and wiring right now. It's got to rebuild. And so this is hitting some kind of visual stimulation part in your brain. And so it's firing. And so you're seeing things, but he's like, don't worry about it. It'll pass. Your brain will heal. Those will end. And he was very like, benzo aware and very practical. I forgot to mention, I crippling migraines. I had what's called kaleidoscope vision, where you look out and like everything is swimming, and I would just like everything would start swimming, and then I'd be overcome with a headache, and my headaches went on for days at a time. I just think weeks, months, like it was just constant. So he gave me Botox for migraines.
And did it help?
Within 2 weeks, my pain levels went down. My migraines became much less frequent. And this is where I also kind of parted ways a bit with the like support groups. Because when I shared, like, oh, this is working for me and it's been really helpful, there were a ton of people who jumped on me to be like, no, you know, Botox is poison. You're putting poison into your body and no medication is going to help. And there's no treatment besides time. And you can't be turning to big pharma to solve your problems. And I was like, you know, no. There's got to be some balance here. And if this is giving me relief and millions of people are doing Botox, and I get it, some people end up with, like, you know, half of their face drooping or something. But to me at that moment, I was like, I don't care. I don't even leave my bed if half of my face droops because he puts it in the wrong way. Like, that wouldn't even, that's not even on my radar compared to the crippling pain.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's sometimes tricky with the support groups, wherever you would be. People are very opinionated. And that makes people go away from the support groups. And I'm like, whatever works for you, if you get relief and you feel that something is helping, hey, we just want people to be better, right? But a lot of people can be judgmental about certain things. So yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, like I went to a benzo coach who really gave me a hard time. Like that I needed to stop the Botox, that, you know, I was fooling myself, and really, really, really gave me a hard time. And that was the only session I had. So I was like, no, you know what? Like, I don't know. I'm an evidence-based person, and there is clearly not enough research about benzos, but if I'm going to look into something and if I feel that it's safe, and now I understand informed consent. If I had looked into benzos and really, really done the kind of work that I do now into anything that I take, I would never have touched it.
Right, right. Well, I think most listeners would agree with that. So in terms of timeline, when would you say that you were, well, I'm trying to describe it here, but mostly recovered from your whole benzo ordeal and other meds?
All right, so here's my timeline. So the first thing that helped was the Botox for migraines. The second thing that helped came from a psychiatrist who I'm now working with at Cohill, and his name is Emilio. I hope I'm not mispronouncing his last name. Emilio Arb. I just call him by his first name. So I decided that I was going to tweet and be super public about my experience, because while some people are embarrassed, I was not embarrassed at all. I felt wronged and angry about what I had gone through.
Right.
I don't feel anybody has anything to be embarrassed about when it comes to taking a medication. And I think shame and silence are what allows this to go on. And I'm super grateful to everybody who, I think people are really speaking up a lot more than they used to. So anyway, I was tweeting about it, and Emilio saw one of my tweets and answered it. And then he and I started corresponding. I'm in Tel Aviv and he's in the UK. So he's been doing a lot of research in psychedelics. He's an Oxford-trained psychiatrist who got disillusioned with pharmacology and did, he does clinical research now, and he did research on helping people get off of SSRIs using mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And he was planning like clinical trials for benzo withdrawal and mushrooms.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think there's a lot going on in terms of research with neuroplasticity. And I know for a fact, it was recently on the news in my country, in the Netherlands, they are doing trials with people that are depressed or have some trauma with actually using mushrooms, LSD, just very controlled. So it's very interesting that there seems to be a shift happening away from the, you know, the psychopharmaca towards natural stuff. So it's very interesting to me how this is, you know, happening.
Yeah, and the psychedelics do neuroregenesis. They actually, like your neurons, and it kind of wakes your brain up, and they've seen and documented really impressive results. So he gave me instructions on the dose to take, and I found a local therapist, and I actually took mushrooms once a week for 5 weeks in a row.
And how was your experience?
Amazing.
Okay, cool. So, what inspired you to make GoHeal happen?
Well, I'm a longtime entrepreneur. I actually lost my job because of benzos and because of withdrawal. I was not able to function for months. So, and then as part of my story, just right when I was feeling better, I got COVID and it became kind of long COVID. And then I had to deal with that. So, I was thinking of when I was feeling better, how am I going to come back into the workforce? What am I going to do? And I'm just like a natural problem solver in my head. If there's something that I feel needs to be fixed, it like sits on me, weighs on me, and until something's being done.
Okay, and is there any advice that you want to give our listeners currently in withdrawal?
Yeah, I think the best advice that I got that I could pass on is something that my mom said, and she said not to borrow trouble. Because whatever you're feeling in the moment that you're in it, if it's shaking or vomiting or brain zaps or itching, you need to worry about what's going on in that moment, but you don't need to project into the future that it's never going to end and you're going to be like that forever and this is the new normal for your life. And you don't know, nobody knows how things are going to play out. But that kind of stress is I don't know, conquering that for me was half the battle. Just like I can get through today, I can get through tomorrow, and I can acknowledge the small bits of healing as I move forward.
Right. Good advice. And in terms of your own kind of healing after basically being polydrugged and all these benzos, would you consider yourself completely healed? Do you still have some, protracted withdrawal symptoms going on or nothing like that?
It's impossible for me to know because I got COVID while I was still healing. And then I don't know if you've spoken to other people, but long COVID is oddly similar to benzo withdrawal.
Yeah, I've heard so much about that. I think I'm so blessed that I haven't gotten COVID so far. So, but yeah, I actually spoke to someone recently who went through really long withdrawal, like years, and she had recently gotten COVID, and it was like benzo withdrawal all over again, she said. So, I think you're right about that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sarah, and I'll speak to you soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the episode. Be well, be safe. Remember, it's not a race, and don't forget to subscribe and rate the show.